Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of our message today? The Throne Room, Touching the King's Heart, based on Matthew 6, verse 10, which reads, Thy kingdom come. We continue our Lord's Prayer sermon series, comparing each part of this prayer with a different room in the great house of God. And today we enter God's throne room as we pray, Thy kingdom come. I invite you to follow the outline provided for you in the handout as we enter the throne room together today. I found this coming story about a man and his family. It's a wonderful story, and I would like to share you this story in his own words. Our family went desk hunting recently. I needed a new desk for my office at home. My daughters wanted a desk for their room. My daughter Sarah was especially excited because when she comes home from school, guess what she does? She plays school. I never did that as a child. When I get home from school, I wanted to forget school and just go out and play. But Sarah wanted a desk at home to play school. We went to a store that sold unfinished furniture. We found just the desks we wanted. But somewhere in the process, little Sarah learned that we were not taking them home that day. I explained the desks had to be painted, and they would be delivered to our home in about 4 weeks. I might as well have said to little Sarah, 4 years, because her little eyes filled with tears. But Daddy, I wanted to take my desk home today. Now, she didn't stomp or make a scene. She did, however, set out on an urgent course to change her father's mind. Daddy, don't you think we could paint it ourselves? Daddy, I want to draw some pictures on my desk like I do at school. Daddy, can't we please take it home today? She disappeared for just a bit, only to return with a smile on her face and her arms stretched wide open, saying, Guess what, Daddy? I checked, and the desk will fit in the back of our car. Now, you and I know that a 7-year-old has no clue what will or will not fit in the back of a vehicle. But her attempt softened my heart. The clincher, though, was the name she called me. Daddy, can we please take it home? Our family took home a desk that day. This father heard his daughter's request for the same reason our Heavenly Father hears ours. What dad wouldn't want to do for his child, something for her own good, like writing and drawing? And when we agree with what God wants in prayer, He hears us as well. 1 John 5:14 says this, And this is the confidence that we have before Him, that when we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. The father in the story was moved to respond because his child called him Daddy. And because we are God's children, what was the hymn we just sang, Children of the Heavenly Father? Because we are our Father's children through our Savior, Jesus Christ, He hears our requests. Galatians 4, verse 6 says this, Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. And Romans 8, 15 says, For you have received the Spirit of sonship, and by Him we cry out, Abba, Father. Because of Jesus, we can call Almighty God, Abba, Papa, Father, who is in heaven. And because of Jesus, we have access to the very throne of God, who hears the prayers of his children. God is not only willing to hear us, he loves to hear us. And in the prayer that Jesus gave us, the Father even tells us what to ask him. Our Father, who is in heaven, thy kingdom come. We, however, are far too often content to ask for less. We enter the great house of God often with a suitcase full of requests. I want this, I want this, and I want this. And sometimes we say our prayers as casually as we place a fast food order at McDonald's. God, I'll have 2 solved problems, 2 blessings, but hold the hassles, please. Not that our needs don't matter to God, they do. It's just that, is that the best place to start? Jesus tells us where to begin in the prayer he taught us. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is teaching his disciples and teaching us how to pray, how to begin. And he says in Matthew chapter 6, when you pray, pray like this: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. When we pray, thy kingdom come, we actually enter the very throne room of God. We invite Almighty God to walk with us every day of our life. In effect, when we pray, thy kingdom come, this is what it means. In our Sunday Bible class today, we were going through this sermon. I had a person say, I've been praying, thy kingdom come, for years, and I never knew what it meant. Here's what this phrase means. We learned it in catechism. When we pray, thy kingdom come, in effect, we're asking God, come, O Lord, be my king. Take your throne in my heart. Be present in my office. Come into my marriage. Be Lord of my family. Be Lord of my fears, my doubts, my church, my community, my world. This is no feeble request. It's a bold appeal to God to be the Lord of every corner of your life. To have his kingdom come and rule in every aspect of who you are. Notice your sermon outline, the question: who are you to ask such a thing? You are his own dear child, for heaven's sake. Through Jesus, you can come to God as your own dear Abba Father. You can come into the very throne room of God and pray boldly, Our Father who is in heaven, thy kingdom come to me. Hebrews 4:16 tells us this: so let us come boldly into the very throne room of God and stay there to receive his mercy and find grace in our time of need. Have you entered this morning with me into God's throne room? Are you there? You are welcome, because the Lord Jesus has taken you by the hand to the very throne room of God. A wonderful biblical example of this kind of boldness coming to the throne room is the Old Testament story of Esther. Esther can tell you about the power of prayer in the throne room of a king. And Esther's request was not for a desk, like the child in the opening story. Her request was for the life and deliverance of her Jewish people. And because she entered the throne room of her king and opened her heart to her, the king answered her prayers, changed his plans, and saved the lives of millions of her people. The story of Esther takes place in the 5th century B.C., some 2,500 years ago. We are told this story in the book of the Bible that bears her name, the book of Esther. This morning, we're just going to quickly review the main characters in the story. First, there's Xerxes. It's on your outline. Xerxes was the powerful king of Persia, the absolute ruler of a land that stretched as far north as India and far south as Africa. In this respect, you could say that Xerxes symbolized the very power of God. The next character in the story is a man named Haman. Haman was the right-hand man of the king. There's nothing good about Haman. He wanted everybody to bow down to him, and he especially hated the Jewish subjects of Persia who would only bow to the Lord their God. So he decided to kill all the Jewish subjects in the kingdom. He was like a 5th century BC Adolf Hitler. He convinced King Xerxes that this would be good for Persia, and so he set a date for the extermination of the Jewish people. Haman, in the scripture, is a servant of hell and a picture of the devil himself, because the devil also wants every knee to bow to him. Since the lie he sold to our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the garden of creation, he has wanted and he has schemed to destroy God's plan. In this case, through Haman, the devil wanted to destroy the Jewish people, thereby destroying the lineage of Jesus. No Jewish people. No Jesus born to Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem. No Savior for the world. You see, the devil will do whatever he can to destroy the presence of Jesus in the world. And that's why the devil does not want you to pray, "Thy kingdom come." Esther, in the story, is a young Jewish woman. She is godly. She is intelligent. She is beautiful. To make a long story short, we can say that she became the queen to King Xerxes by winning the Miss Persia beauty contest. But she's asked by her advisor to go to King Xerxes to prevent the coming massacre of her Jewish people. She wasn't eager to go before the king because not just anybody could stand in the presence of the mighty King Xerxes and live. To do so was instant death. So Esther tells her advisor in chapter 4, verse 11, these words: "No man or woman may go to the king in his throne room without being called. Anyone who enters this way must be put to death unless the king hands out to them his golden scepter. And I have not been called to go to the king for 30 days. Now, strange as it may seem to us, even the queen did not have immediate access to the king. To enter his throne room uninvited meant a trip to the gallows. And the gallows were that place of execution for the Persian government in which sharp poles were stuck in the ground and people's bodies were impaled on the sharp poles until they died. The Romans changed that into crucifixion. The Persians impaled. That's why we can understand why Esther was not too eager to go to the king's throne room uninvited. But her advisor did not give up. He tells her that this opportunity to save her people may be the very reason she was chosen as the queen. Chapter 4 says this way: Esther is told, "And who knows, you may have been chosen queen for such a time as this." So Esther dresses in her best outfit and stands outside the throne room of the king, making sure that King Xerxes sees her. He did see her. Chapter 5, verse 2 says this: "When the king saw Esther standing in the courtyard, he was pleased." Let me give a modern translation for this. When the king saw Esther, he said, "Hubba, hubba, hubba. That's what I'm talking about. That's one good-looking girl." And he held out his golden scepter to her, and Esther was invited in. Now, what follows is the rapid collapse of the devil's plans through evil Haman. The king begs Esther, "Ask me for anything." And in effect, Esther replies, "Well, now that you mention it, how about saving my Jewish people from destruction and doing something about that evil Haman?" To make a long story short, go home and read the book of Esther. The Jewish people are saved. Haman is impaled on the pole at the gallows, and Esther and the king live happily ever after. And in this story, we get a dramatic reminder of what happens when we approach our king. Like Esther, we have the privilege of making our request in the very throne room of the king of the universe, the throne room of God. And we come in Jesus' name, and we pray humbly, "O King, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come to me." And because we come in Jesus' name, the King holds out his golden scepter to us, and we are welcomed in. Ephesians 2:18 says this, "Because through Jesus we have access to the Father." Because of Jesus' death on the cross to pay for our sins and his rising to give us salvation, we have immediate access to the throne of God. Wow, I'm going to say that again. Immediate access to the throne room of God. Because of Jesus, we can address the King of the universe as our Father, Abba. And for Jesus' sake, Abba hears our prayers. Why do you think we end our prayers with that phrase, "In Jesus' name we pray"? Actually, we should start our prayers with that. "In Jesus' name, Father, we come to you." And Father says, "Because of Jesus, I hear your prayers and you are welcome." Coming boldly to our Father. That's what little Sarah did. Remember little Sarah? She went to her daddy and asked for a new desk. And soon the desk was loaded into the family car. But the living parable of Sarah and her desk did not end there. When her desk was unloaded at home, she invited her daddy to celebrate with her. So her daddy drew a picture and taped it to Sarah's desk. And it read, "Sarah's desk." But then Sarah, who loved her daddy so much, drew a picture and taped it to her desk. And it read, "I love my daddy." Hey, worship is the best response to answered prayer. So when we come boldly into God's throne room and pray, "Our Father, who is in heaven, thy kingdom come to me," we are worshiping and we are declaring, "I love my Father because I know he loves me." In the name of Jesus, amen.